a time or two. I wiped my brow and kept pushing through. I couldn't see how every sign pointed straight to you.
Number one country and pop hit for Rascal Flatts, brilliantly done there by our very own Sluggy Dan. God bless the broken road where the road is clear to take us to 7:37. And Sluggy and team, ready to roll, Bajan rhythm and rhyme. Another Super Saturday. Welcome, Sluggy Dan.
Bang, bang, bang. Just let me know you're getting me nice and sweet and sexy.
Nice and clear. I don't know about the sexy part, but nice and clear for sure.
But I can't ever catch you off guard. I'm always the old sharp nubby.
Well, I can't call you sexy, but maybe someone else can. Go ahead.
Yes, good evening, my brother. Yes, and blessings, Ronnie. Blessings, as always. Thank you. I always start with a thanks. Thanks to Bilby. Thanks to everyone in Bilby Country Lock On. I understand my people in Beards, St. George, still listening to the show. Was waiting from all last year. Thank you, my people in Gall Hill. Thank you very much. This evening they have the great Kid Sight is going to be here with me. Then I have the extremely awesome Lucy Hammers as well. And we're going to be going in some very deep discussions, of course, and lame discussions. Kid Sight, Ronnie, is going to, because this is a problem that I got, Ronnie, right? During the pandemic, right? You know, like artists and so on was seeking help and assistance from the NCF, as you would have heard, all be radio and all over, right, with various programs, and you would have seen online. But the thing is, no, if you get any help from government, no, don't care who it is, don't care how small the money is, you must have a Thomas number, Ronnie, which is understood.
Mm-hmm.
You must. If not, you can't get the assistance. It's one of the prerequisites, is that the right word? And I found that a lot of young artists was finding a problem where a simple thing at the time is number many of the artists did not have before. And something so simple was stopping them from getting assistance. So then, you know, from me having a conversation with kids, so because like you always say, Ronnie, the conversation must be beyond just music. You understand, like the conversation must go way beyond just singing a piece, singing a song, or reciting a spoken word piece, Ronnie, or a play. It must go beyond that. Things like taxes and filing your taxes and why they are important. Like, for me, we need those discussions as well. So Kid Sight being expert, because that's what many persons may or may not know, that's Kid Sight's area of expertise also. And so I think that he'd be much better able to explain why it's important for the youngster to have a Thomas number. And he could also explain why it could benefit them as well. And which is very important. So all my young people that locked on, this is why you need to do these things. And the reality of it is you can't get help from the NCF. Or anywhere for that matter, it could be the Division of Youth, anywhere else in government for that matter. You can't get help and assistance unless you have that Thomas number. And it really isn't that hard to file. And a lot of artists had issues with them issues, and ain't nothing to do with the government tracking you, or you need to get money out to you or those things. But like I said later on, Kitsa is going to explain the importance. So then you have the great Lucy Hammonds, who's a young lady, but already studied outside of Barbados, studied at Barbados as well, a spoken word artist, a poet, but she's also a school teacher, which for me is really hard. I'm sure people know how hard that is to be an artist and still a teacher. You know, many I was doing it. If I'm not mistaken, I think Natalie Burt still doing it. Natalie Burt is still a full-time teacher and artist.
And Cooper Dan, People's Monarch from last year.
Oh, shoot. Thanks, Ronnie. Yes, how can I forget? Cooper Dan, and if I think Cooper's still young, but there's a good couple of years Cooper was teaching already.
Mm-hmm, correct.
And I think he teaches primary school. I think when I teach this primary school, which is war, which is a lot. So I always amazed that because the teaching profession, like us, Ronnie, we get a lot of licks. Teachers always get a lot of licks.
And I think people like Jamar the Star, MC long time, announcer.
Yes.
And Daddy Fabian too. They've been doing some teaching as well over the years in different locations, etc. So we have right. quite we have an, we have a number of persons that do that.
Expert.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, that people like a expert when it comes to teaching math, mathematics,
IT, and them type of things.
And IT, yes, you're right. But Ronnie, that must be hard though because both professions is a lot of licks. Like being an artist or a DJ, and Daddy Fabian was a DJ, not was is, and. During the time he was on 95.3, which is like one of the more popular stations, he'd be playing all the hits. So he'd be hearing the noise surrounding sounds and lyrics and what they're doing. Then
and he operated very successful clubs as well, 360, Le Club. And then his crew schedule was like Menace and Surf Rat and other DJs that were like, if you got three cruises a night, these guys are going via jet ski, a little boat from one boat to the next and making three gigs in one night on the water.
Yeah, and yeah, they got videos online with that. They got videos online with many jet skis taking these men to cruises. Be those videos are online.
That's true.
But then teaching by day, and I mean both professions, Nobby. Both professions get a lot of licks. The DJ, or artist, and a teacher. And these, and I know how we find yourself in all these things that we're gonna be a battle. But for me, it's be amazing. So I salute young Lucy Hammonds for taking on that fight and being an artist as well. So a good evening, Lucy. I always want to give a good long introduction because they must give flowers now. So a good evening, Miss Lucy Hammonds, and good evening, Kid Sight.
Good evening. Can you hear me? Good evening.
Yes, please.
Can loud and clear.
All right.
Good evening, Lucy. Let me hear you, Miss Hammonds.
Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you good now. How are you?
I'm well. Not too bad. How are you?
I'm good. I'm always good. Glad to hear you. I'm glad to hear you.
I'm so happy to hear you too. Hi, a good evening to everyone else on the panel, to Ronnie and to David. Hi.
Yes.
Hi.
Yes, that's a great kid site.
Hi.
Don't want to name David on the iPad. That's the great kid site. No, Barbados and met this lady, Lucy, about 12 years ago. At Barbados Community College, and literally 12 years ago, from the first day we met, we the buddies from day one to now. Like ain't much people that's happened with, but from day one to now, 12 years later, like we always support each other careers. Like, but when I first met you, Lucy, when I first met you, I didn't hear you speak about teaching a lot at all. I swear you were someone that did not want to teach. But no, I see you teaching and I hear so many students love you and always speak about Miss Hammonds. How did you get it from Lucy, my friend, the actor, the lesbian, to the teacher and educator? How did that happen?
How did that happen? I still don't know. I feel like it's a strange phenomenon that's occurred. Somehow I've gotten here. I guess what occurred, I went to, as you know, yes, you kept saying like 12 years ago, yes, we're rather aged now, we're not young kids anymore, but when I was studying in England, I went to the Birmingham School of Acting and I came across this course because, you know, a lot of my work was very focused on, you know, societal responsibility and ensuring that we work towards equality, we work towards justice, we work towards making a better world for the future generations. And it was a course on community and education. And I really enjoyed the course. So I was like, all right, let's go with this. And after that, I started giving loads of workshops in schools throughout, up and down the UK. I was performing poetry. I would couple my poetry with workshops to either support a syllabus or support what someone was teaching. And then I realized I actually kind of enjoyed working with young people. They give you a lot of life. They give you a lot of laughs. So that ended up being what I did when I got back to Barbados. And now I told myself I was only going to teach for like a year or two, but it's been 4 years, coming up to 4 years. So here I am.
Nice. And listen, right? You said that one of your focus was like society, right?
Yep. Societal responsibility.
Right, societal responsibility. No. Being but you lived different places, different parts of the world, right?
Yeah.
What are some of the things that we can adopt that would benefit us? Like benefit the community, benefit the society.
Ooh.
And it don't have to be limited to the arts either, but you could be best to the arts if you want to give you that leeway, of course. But you don't have to be limited, but we want to know like some of the things that we can adopt. You don't gotta go too deep if you don't want to. But I would love to hear just some of the good things. Because you know we deal with solutions, Lucy. You know we are ready. We deal with pure solutions.
Yes, only, please.
You know what I mean? No threatening, no complaints, straight solutions. So you want to know some of the good things that we can adapt that would probably help our children a little bit more.
Okay. I think first and foremost, I believe that we need to put more support and respect on the name of the arts. So art whether it's performing arts, literary arts, whatever kind of art you're looking at, visual arts, whatever kind of art you are looking at, art represents the heart. It represents the spirit of a community and of a space. Therefore, if we're inside a space that does not respect its own spirit or respect its own heart, how can we expect that community to grow, to develop, to expand? And I think that's one of the things that in Barbados we need to do. We need to respect our art. We need to respect our artists. We need to respect the industry. In fact, you were saying earlier about me needing to teach and me teaching and why am I teaching? And I think a very strong component of that is there is no established industry really for performing artists to get into. So I know so many artists that are incredibly talented, but they have to live off of a gig economy rather than being able to go to or have a set space that they can perform. So we need to have established spaces for artists to work in that are accessible. I think accessibility is an intricate part to this. Integral part to this. And then, yeah, so let's recap. To recap, it would be respect on the arts, establishing the industry, supporting the industry, making accessible artistic spaces, the lack of censorship. I honestly believe that one of the things we need to do is, in certain spaces, of course, not on the radio, but in certain spaces, there should be the opportunity for experimental types of artistic work. And one other thing that I think we should give ourselves is grace, the opportunity to get things wrong, to mess up. I think we believe very firmly that everything we create has to be perfect. And I don't think that that's really what art needs. It's about expression. It's about exploration. So we need spaces that allow for that exploration. I'm going to stop there.
Oh my God, people, this is Bear Jen, Rhythm and Rhyme again. You know, it's always Humbug, Ronnie, and Kid Say. People, this is Bear Jen, Rhythm and Rhyme. Good evening. Thanks for tuning in. VOB 92.9 FM. And for those now tuning in, this is Miss Lucy Hammonds. She keeps saying we got age, but she's still in her 20s. Don't mind her. She's young. She's a great poet, you know, an actor, a real thespian, you know. And she also started out playing piano and thing as well. So don't feel like forget Lucy. I know you very well.
Oh my gosh, are you outing me?
I know that there are much people that know you do graded music, Royal School of Music on the piano. There are much people that know Lucy, the actor, did that, you know. But I'm fortunate enough that we are such good friends that I know the secrets. No. Ronnie, this is the young lady in her 20s, and two things she said I want you and Kisa to speak about. She talked about grace, giving the artists and the youngsters grace, you know, time to get it wrong and get it right. And then she spoke about censorship. No, censorship for me is saying big, because like she said, not necessarily meaning radio, but sometimes for radio, for me, sometimes we go overboard as well. That's just for me. Now, you know, they got rules and laws, but then sometimes the team is like, come on, we take that real far. We can't say a fool. We can't say a clown. You know what I mean? Like, not saying those words are banned, but that's drawing the reference. So she talk about grace and censorship. And I find kids say, and when they find that in Barbados, when it comes to art for real, when she says censorship, I felt that because it's still a cringe for certain type of art if you use certain type of language. You know what I mean? We always think that everything, if it's not for radio, is not good at all. It's still that creeping in, unless it is in the underground culture dancehall. So that part about censorship. Ronnie first and then Kid say, how much, because both of us is sing, both want to deal with censorship, how much does censorship hurts us?
Well, let me look at a radio perspective as a as a program manager.
Yes, please.
We have a broadcast license that speaks to certain areas of taste, conduct, and the impact of areas such as those. There's no hard and fast rule. The obvious points would relate to what we call cursing or strong language, which is understood to be a swear word, a legitimate swear word, vulgar words. And even then, especially when it comes to music, and in Barbados predominantly calypso, tend to err on the side of caution. Now, that's one type of censorship. And those decisions are sometimes debatable, especially given the record of allowance that entities have, but all of a sudden they have a problem with something. But then you have speaking your mind on people, getting personal. Politicians in particular come in for a lot of scrutiny in Calypso. And they should, because that's standard as far as Barbados is concerned. It's interesting how some politicians want you to sing about flowers in the environment when they become the government. But they're quick to encourage you to pelt lashes in the government when they are in opposition. And people who represent the interests of a political party will even offer to include a line in your song at finals night and pay for all your production if you would just give them that opportunity. So you can go from struggling to mount a presentation at a Piggly Crop finals to having it enhanced to Hollywood levels if you compromise and sacrifice your integrity as far as your art is concerned. Now, there are some venues, but this is so conservative that if you go to a venue where adults are and adults pay their money to enter this establishment as adults, even with a note that says this presentation consists of or includes adult language, people complain. You should not be there if you know that it has certain words in it as a work of art and then become offended when you get there. That's not art. Now, by the same token, radio internationally has a period called the watershed time segment, which is after a certain point, stronger language and themes can be presented as long as they're not defamatory and put the producers, the broadcasters, and the writers in trouble. But there's an agreed window where you're allowed to do that now. That doesn't mean that automatically people start using the obvious words and getting slack to a point. But some presentations, in order to have a sincere representation of what was said or what was felt, must have the liberty to include that type of expression. Case in point, Saving Private Ryan.
Yes.
Now, when that movie opens with the landing of the soldiers, it is just noise, tumult, chaos, the theater of war.
Yes.
Bullets, literally, the camera is in the water, bullets are coming through the soldiers, and certain words are used, and screams and responses. Now, Now, I can see a situation where if that was put in a play on a stage in Barbados, certain people will complain. But that's accurate. That's accurate. So yeah. When we had the issue with the Trojan Rhythm earlier this year, when that rhythm came out, let me tell you this. When that rhythm came out on the 2nd of April to DJs and to stations, nobody took it upon themselves.
Wait. Hold on, it was that.
Nobody took it upon themselves when they saw it in their inbox to play that on the radio. Nobody.
Yeah.
People may have played the one that talks about the dance and whatever the case may be, but that I think that's the one where Rick has a song about in the dance and blah blah blah, right?
Yeah.
But nobody played the other songs.
Nah.
It's only when it came to the attention of the people who would not even look at it or listen to it or consider it because it was brought into the brass tacks, the domain, to ask the question, the fair question, well, how can we have people talking about peace and you're using these individuals with this type of song at the same time out there, not generally out there, but out there? That's a fair question. And that was fairly done. But then it mushroomed into something from an artistic viewpoint was not right. And then you had the pictures of the artists on the front page of the paper.
Mugshots.
And normally you treat that, you save that treatment for people that in a situation which is drastic, criminal, whatever the case may be. I don't think it was meant to portray that, but we are so accustomed to that. That's how it came over. Nobody's studying Trojan Rhythm now. And I think, and let me say this up front. Rick's response was the best response. There's nothing that he said in his statement that contradicted his work as an artist or his viewpoint as someone who has seen many of the things that are reflected in music. And art reflects music. It can't only reflect the schmoozy woozy things, the comfortable things. And let me say, Lucy's younger. Yes. And the generation under the controlling generation, let me call the controlling generation those who are over 40 and up to 70 and, you know, are in most of the influential positions and blah, blah. You should have a younger generation that questions things, that challenges things, that asks questions that make the controlling generation uncomfortable, whether it's about employment, education, religion, finances, sex. And when we were young, that's how we felt. But all of a sudden, when we get to the controlling stage, we forget. Not that we allow anarchy, but we don't even consider for a moment what are the desires, the thoughts, the objectives, the anxieties, the wishes, the intentions of younger people. It happens in school, happens in church, it happens in society, and it happens in entertainment. We have a situation, the Kids Site has said this before. Our stars are over 50. We got the same stars in Barbados because we become active nationally for 12 weeks. So it's like Christmas, except for the Beat 104.1 FM. Songs play for 3 weeks, for 10 years, and have not even played the equivalent of a full year. So we have people who are 50 and 60 dominating our local entertainment scene. Young people can't break through in the current system. So you know what young people do? They bypass that. And they've got the social media and digital platforms, and they're connecting with people all over the world and creating things, creating beats, and those type of things. So, you know, I would love to hear from Lucy how she feels as a younger person looking at the controlling sectors and how it looks and how it feels from that younger perspective? Because we know good how question, our peers good operate.
Question, Ronnie. Good question, okay. Ronnie. Go ahead, Lucy. I would love to hear from Lucy as well. That's a good question. Go ahead, Lucy.
Well, let me unpick my mouth to say.
Yes.
First of all, Ronnie, I completely agree with everything you were saying. That Trojan Rhythm debacle, because it was a debacle, ended up leaving a sour taste in the mouth of so many young people. Because so many young people felt as though they could not truly express what they had seen or what their lived experiences were. And that's a problem. Because like you say, art imitates life and life imitates art. So this happens in a circle. Therefore, you cannot expect young people who are seeing violence, who are experiencing violence on a daily basis, to only speak about positive things or positive messages. Yes, maybe they might find a positive message in it, but that, again, should fall to the trust of the artist. And I believe that in Barbados, we don't give our artists enough trust, and we don't believe in their, we don't give them enough power. We want to control them. As soon as somebody gets too popular, we want to control them. Now, again, on censorship. Now, my field of expertise, revolves around theater and revolves around spoken word poetry. And it is interesting to me as a spoken word poet that cursing on stage is still against the law in Barbados, which is a fascinating concept. It's very colonial and it's something that we have to dash away with. But it is one of those things that mean that, again, our voices are being censored, our experiences are being censored, our language is being censored. And that can't be acceptable. Especially since one of the things, like you rightfully said, is for art to challenge, is for art to make people question. It is supposed to bristle feathers. And another thing that I've experienced is the same thing of which my play, Who Ja Bless, it has cursing in it. A lot of my work has cursing in it because I find swear words to be an integral, like, artistic tool if used appropriately. So sometimes I find that my work can't be done in certain spaces. It takes me a while to find a piece. You could ask Sluggy. I was even speaking to him and asking him, is this considered a swear word on radio? I'm not too sure. But when my play Who Ja Bless came on, we had a disclaimer. The play was about sexual violence. And obviously sexual violence is not a topic that you can treat with, that you can sanitize. It's not really a sanitized topic. Therefore, I didn't want the language to be sanitized. And yet still, we had audience members that were affected by this, even though we gave the disclaimer up front. So again, we have this situation whereby I don't know, it just put me in the place of asking myself, what's the point? And I know that that's also reflected in other young people. Because again, like I say, when the Trojan Rhythm dropped, a lot of my students just looked at me and was like, ma'am, it just means that the older people don't get us and don't care about us.
And wait, question. Wait, Lucy, wait, because we haven't finished with you yet, but stick a pin there quick. Ronnie, when you spoke about if on stage, although you had a disclaimer, people would still be offended, you knew that that happened to her, or you just said that?
I said that because that's Barbados. That's Barbados. That you know, there's...
No, I mean that you say, and it actually happened to somebody that right here speaking to us.
And I'm saying that's Barbados. So it would happen again, and it has happened before. You know, there's a certain type of slackness that's a particular set of Barbadians like, you know. That they, in inverted commas, it's approved. It's acceptable. It's acceptable in certain types of plays or productions, certain types of parties where only certain people are allowed to go and behave in a certain way. But them same people will come and lambaste the majority of people who are working class that express themselves a certain way. Let me stress again, that rhythm was not designed for radio, but certainly it will be present in the community and the content would reach the ears and the minds of the people who are listening. Ironically, I went to an establishment a couple of weeks after the rhythm became an issue. And this is an eating establishment. This is not a club, but it plays music. And you could say that the clientele is not in a street setting, but if they are from a particular background, when they reach this place, it's a lot calmer. It's a lot trendier and, let's say, upmarket than you would expect. And when that rhythm played, the place went absolutely bonkers, you know. People were eating food, jumping up, slapping the tables, telling them, now they didn't have a DJ. They had a mix playing with it in. And do you know they had to wheel back the mix and play that mix again? And I can tell you, with the people that I see and know that were there, they're not gangsters. They're not hoodlums, hooligans, known to the court, out of prison. Because people understand, those people understand, like most people understand, art. And if that establishment could play it, Lord have mercy, if that was reported on radio with the same audience that was up in arms, that establishment would have fire bump on it too. It's Barbados. Look, I know a Calypsonian that was told in writing for a finals that he could not sing that the other Calypsonian played the piano like Elton John. Could not sing that in a Calypso song.
What? Okay, so you know about this?
And do you know what the other Calypsonian did on finals night? He played the piano like Elton John. So it's just to show you how finicky and touchy certain arenas can be. But that can't stop the artist. Look, when you get into certain contests and you understand the mood and the trend in how these things evolve, then you can expect anything in Barbados from that viewpoint. And the reality is, if you know that, you work with it. Look, one semi-finals, I think there were 6 or 8 Calypsonians that literally had to change their lyrics overnight. Even gospel Calypsonians. and people, all I can tell you is that, you know, that this is the type of environment that younger people see and scratch their heads and say, wow. Yeah. Because we have to give young people more credit than they're currently getting in terms of being able to discern, to assimilate, to weigh, analyze, and create. It doesn't stop with us who are in our 40s and 50s and older. Mm-hmm. And there's so much that young people are doing, which is brilliant, but it's not seen as commercially viable. But it must be encouraged. And I would like to say, we haven't... I would like to say that in the absence of Crop Over NIFCA, where much of that outward production is manifest in this country, take a look at what the NCF has done since last year. I'm sure there are a lot of young people that have benefited from the type of programs and fora and events that have been produced, you know. And that type of work may not have been possible if we had a crop over. So coming into the next season of festivals, there are additional skills. Now, I'm not getting paid to say that. I'm not cozy with certain people to big them up per se. But you must acknowledge the work that is going on. I think there's a lot of work there that when physical spaces become available again, people will see the fruit of that. But I would encourage the artists, you know, the rappers, the dub chanters, the film writers, script writers, play producers, you know, right from your heart. Your work is not determined by 275,000 people in Barbados or by a number of radio stations or the sole television station in this country. That's not how art breathes and lives. In fact, that which may go against the grain is quite possibly going to be that which is remembered. And if you look at popular music over the years, we still play Bob Marley. We still play Jim Morrison and the Doors. We still play some Mick Jagger. We still play a host of artists from different genres that went against the grain in their time. And 60 years on, they're still playing. And a funny side note, I played some Cubba today from 85, 86, and 87. Well, 86 and 87. And you know how many songs have been released since he released those three songs? That will never play again? That do not have that novelty factor or bring up those memories of where you heard when you heard that song? Or were you at the Garrison when Ben Tom won the race? Because it's something that connects. It's not everything you do that will connect, but by the same token, something that connects here may not connect somewhere else. And something which was overlooked here may be the very thing that takes you to another country to perform or present and earn some money.
Yes, true. And no.
But hold on, Sluggy, I want to hear Kid Sight on this thing about we don't make young stars anymore. You're making them. Quantum are making them and a number of production houses. But Kid Sight, I want to hear you on that one. The stars... Yes, as talented as we old people are, we can't have a situation where the stars are still 40, 50, and 60. Kid Sight.
It's true. I agree. Come in, bro. Kid Sight. I'm mute, buddy.
He's still muted. Because look, Bruce Springsteen is Bruce Springsteen. Billy Joel is Billy Joel. And they're legends.
Okay, so you're there?
But they're not hitting the charts now. Go ahead, Kid.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, buddy. Yeah,
loud and clear.
Well, I was saying, and the lady here, she brought up the topic of the censorship, and Ronnie touched briefly on the profanity, which is a way of putting over the culture that they live in. What has always amazed me now is when I was a dub chanter all over the island with the other guys, we were on a national level. We were performing at community shows on a national level. What I find about the youngsters now is that rightly put forward by the lady just now, the lack of forums now that the youngsters can get in front of a community or get in front of a national audience, the lack of forums. So they gone kind of internalizing now, singing partly to their own audience. So I'm wondering when it's for the youngsters to get back, and I've been pushing this for a long time, for the youngsters to get to the fore of entertainment, there have to be some move to get them to a national audience, performing regularly in front of a national audience, a community audience. This is lacking in respect of entertainment in general right now. So then you see you got people in the 50s dominating entertainment. There's no move to push the youngsters to the fore. That's what I'm saying. This was lacking in Barbados right now. There's no move to push the youngsters to national identity, that the whole nation can recognize them. This is something that I'm really passionate about, and I want to see it happen. But it's not happening right now. No, yes, we have the COVID. But even before the COVID, there was no national forums. We need to create forums, even if they're at community levels, so it can expose young people so that they can come to the fore on a national level. That's my point here. This is what I'm saying is missing. Now, as regards to profanity, my entire career was built over putting over a song without being profane. So although I acknowledge that the profanity is a way of expressing today, what I fear about the profanity is if it becomes commonplace and every youngster feels he has to express himself through that means, because I'm a songwriter, you have to develop songwriting skills or even writing skills. And it doesn't necessarily have to be profane all the time. But if you keep, my fear is that if it goes down that line, and people start to think that this is how it has to be. So you got to be careful with expression, with profanity, because every youngster can feel you have to do it. It doesn't have to do it. I'm saying that I built my entire career off being not being profane. So that's my point about the censorship. And I really feel that we need to push the young people forward and create a national forum for them.
But Kid, politically in your Calypso career and as the holder of four Calypso crowns, you haven't pulled punches when it comes to your songs. and songs which made leaders uncomfortable too.
Yeah, well, that's the Calypso, you know. Political commentary, it all pulled punches, but that's Calypso. That's another part of censorship that you have expressed there. I was talking in relation to the dub and expression, but when it comes to Calypso now, the political commentary that I've done and you have done, that is Calypso. And the people are saying, the authorities come on the path of trying to say, well, you have to censor that. We can't censor Calypso. That's Calypso. That's how I see it. To come out and express itself. I've never taken a song to a lawyer and I've never been sued. Because they always know how to keep within the boundaries of being defamatory. So it can't be done. What you mentioned about the situation where people had to retract a lot of lyrics and some of the lyrics were very mild. Oh, that was the administration. Which was totally ridiculous as far as Calypso is concerned. I hope they don't return again. That's the truth. That kind of thinking or that kind of administration return again. That would be like that. That was awful.
You hardly hear that in Trinidad, though. You hardly hear that in Trinidad. I can't imagine in Trinidad the type of things that Calypsonians here have been asked to change. They'd ask you to change that in Trinidad. What would people think about that there?
Can't do that in Trinidad because that's Calypso. You can't change Calypso. What are they doing, Barbados, is trying to dilute and water down Calypso. Making it, in fact, what they were trying to project the last couple of years was a junior monarchy kind of Calypso coming to the pickety crop.
Whoa, kids, remember, you're touching some hearts, no, kids, say.
Yeah, but junior monarchy and pickety crop. You can't put junior monarchy and pickety crop together. You can't put a child with an adult. It's two different things. An adult will see some things and children will see other things. But there was, I last time I was there with Ronnie, there was a minister, and I said, he said that the junior monarchs were better than the pickety crop artists. Because they were not singing, but he said, because they were not singing about the government. He said that clearly.
Imagine that. Anyhow.
Someone said that?
Yeah, that was said. Yeah. You might be able to find that online if you go and type in the necessary things. But Kid is right in that regard, and that's where a lot of the focus is, because Cropover is set up that way and captures the people's attention. But Lucy, creating a work to be presented and more than just presented, ask people to pay and see it. How is it different for a younger person?
Excellent question. Before I answer that, I also wanted to think about, I was thinking about some of the stuff that Kid Sight was saying, and I found it interesting the way, Kid, you were able to protect and defend the purpose of Calypso. That's Calypso. I also want to put to voice that a lot of young people feel that about newer art forms or art forms that aren't traditional. And I think we also need to make space for that and trust our young people to listen and to be guided by other artists and to be inspired by other artists so that they would know not to use profane language all the time, only for the purpose and only for the expressed means that they're trying to achieve, especially if they're an artist that stays true to their craft. So I just want to say that. As a young person trying to get my work out there, I think one of the big things I deal with personally would be mental health. And my mental health struggles. It is not great. And I will say that live and direct in front of anyone, because at the end of the day, sometimes it feels as if you can't get support. Sometimes it feels as if your voice is not going to be accepted because, again, it's not popular or it's not using a traditional art form. Yes. And the support culture in Barbados
that's not
is
uncommon, though, Lucy. That's not uncommon here.
You see, it's not. About
that, the mental health issues. Listen, I tell in Barbados now, more young people than you would ever imagine tell me these things daily. Go ahead.
I mean, Sagi, we've got one in four people deal with mental health problems, right? And then to add on to that, you've got creative children who have been in lockdown for the past, 2 years, give or take. And so that means, again, and then alongside of that, you've got a conservative culture, which means that support is not readily given. And a culture that also undervalues the impact of art. Like the hallmark of a good conversation is that it goes full circle, right? And right at the top of this, I said that the supporting culture is one of the things that we need to address, and we need to challenge, actively challenge. And I firmly believe that once we allow young people the space and the support, and we let them try, things, be experimental. And I mean, at a national level, we support young people at a national level before they even have to go elsewhere for the support, we're going to see vast returns, because at the end of the day, art creative industry could be a fantastic economical venture for us. But anywho.
So what's your latest project?
What is my latest project?
Before you go on, I also want to hear something from you as well.
Okay.
on the spot. Ronnie asked you a question, so answer Mr. Ronnie Clark first, and then grant Sluggy his request, please. Thank you.
Okay, I can do that. I can do those things. Those things are manageable. What is my latest project? Currently, I am working with WAND and the NCF to produce the same play, Who Ja Bless, which had a stage reading with the wonderful Patrick Foster as a director at that time. And now it is projected to be restaged, a full stage production for 2022. So look out for that. That's Who Ja Bless. I'm also working on my own spoken word project. I've been working on a spoken word album, writing several pieces from about 2020 to now. And I want to compile those pieces into a project that will then be released. So that's what I'm working towards. Alongside that, I am teaching the children of the nation. So, yeah.
And what's their response to the insight that you share with them? Because you deal with adults and you deal with children. What's the single biggest difference when you're interacting with children?
Well, I don't see that much of a difference between them, I would say, because I work a lot with artistic adults in Barbados, and there's a childlike quality in a lot of artists, as in they will enjoy playing and making fun. And I think that's the spirit that I enjoy working with, no matter the age, that's the spirit I enjoy working with. But with young people, I think there is something about their capacity to be inspired and follow that inspiration without self-doubt until somebody else puts that doubt in their head. And that's...
Girl, that part, that part, because that part Ronnie, right, as you will see, interviewing a lot of them, Ronnie, from Junior Monarch, whether it's Nifka, Nobby, whether it's the young ones in the tent, from you being there, from you being with them, and Casey as well, you will see that unrelentless passion and belief until someone plants that seed of doubt in their head.
Mm.
Yeah.
How has the pandemic changed your relationship with the children as an educator? How do you compare it to when it was pre-COVID?
Oh, the thing about children is that they're resilient, right? So I've had the fantastic experience of meeting a group of children solely online. We've only seen each other over videos, and they still have been able to create relationships with each other. They've still been able to create a sense of culture within the class that I really appreciate. However, even though I've had those fantastic moments, it cannot compare to being inside the classroom. And I'm a very, as a teacher, I prefer physical activities. So we do a lot of moving, we do a lot of acting, obviously, we do a lot of performing of scenes. And there is something about when students can respond to each other and improvise moments that can't be captured on, or can't be replicated, I should say, on video as effortlessly. So there's a miss, there's that organic missing element in there that I do miss. But I think one thing about the children is that they're doing their best in this environment. And that's something that we have to give them flowers for.
Now, I had to nip out and visit a studio while you were speaking before, so I may have missed it or a reference to it. But I have three daughters, two of whom took me out to Queen's Park to be a part of the Leggings March. And and Naomi did a poetry piece there as well. What happened to Leggings? Because the things you were concerned about are still things to be concerned about.
It is very true. Life in Leggings, I believe, is still working. It's still a Caribbean alliance. However, I can't really speak much to it because after we had conducted the march, I wanted to spend some time working on a piece that tackled the issues, which then became the piece Who Jah Bless. So that became my focus and my pull and my ambition. So that's where I went. But I am sure that they're still doing the work, and I still believe that this is something that I stand for. We have to, again, it's talking about these issues, bringing these taboos to the front, and ensuring that we challenge them to create a better world for our young people. So ending street harassment, ending sexual violence, gender-based violence, all those things, I firmly believe.
Specifically female creatives, and more accurately, those of your age, do they encounter these type of scenarios still?
I mean, I was inside a class talking to third formers, and they said that's the age range of 13, 14, and they were speaking about being harassed, and that they're harassed on the street simply because they're wearing a junior uniform or they're wearing a uniform. And it's very blatant they're wearing a uniform, but that might be the reason why someone thinks that they can exact power over them. So yes, it's still a lived reality, and it's still something that we continue to fight. I myself have experienced street harassment, sexual harassment, but that it's come to a point where you'll hear about it more in the piece, I'm sure of it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's something that's still our reality, and we still need to actively fight. And I'm going to call on everyone listening to challenge, once you're in a safe position or you're in a position of authority that you can be listened to, call out people that you hear harassing another person on the street. Just tell them it's not a good thing. It's not a good look.
Of course. Just a quick note before we wrap up in 7 minutes. This just came up on the BBC. We were talking about censorship. This is Canada we're talking about. A Canadian comedian who mocked a disabled singer has won his free speech case in Canada's top court. In a 5-4 split decision, the Supreme Court ruled that jokes told about the singer, who was a child at the time, did not amount to discrimination. It marks the end of a nearly decade-long legal battle over a segment in a stand-up comedy special. The case, which tested the limits of free speech in Canada, received widespread attention. It began in 2010 when Mike Ward, a popular comedian from Quebec known for his edgy comedy, started telling jokes about a child singer named Jeremy Gabriel. And you can read the whole story on the BBC. It was just put up there. Well, it was put up yesterday, but it's come to the fore in terms of the things you search for. And it really fits in with what we talk about in Little Barbados about free speech. A joke ended up before Canada's top court. A joke. And it won 5-4. Wow.
A decade-long battle.
But not many artists have the means or the desire to take it to the top. And this gentleman did so. By doing that, he set a precedent for all the artists to come to examine and see if they fall within that same range of protection as well. That's art for you. Even as we speak, it's being discussed all around the world.
Yes, correct. Before we go up, because I want to end with a powerful piece from my friend Lucy. And I thank her for coming. I'll be begging for long. And
I've been begging to work with her for long, so I want Barbara to know that I've asked her. I don't want it to be a one-time thing, and she knows this. She knows we need to work together. So thank you, Lucia. Love and appreciate you, my sister. You're going, yeah. I want Kid Sight before I let you do this piece. Kid Sight.
Yes, sir.
Two quick questions, buddy. What do you think some of the young creatives are so afraid to just sign up for something so simple like a Thomas number? Like, one, why? And two, why is it important, bro, that we do it? Not just because you have to do it for government, but apart from that, why is good to make sure you register when it as it relates to taxes and so on?
Well, in relation to taxes, don't remember that the system, which was introduced in the 1950s, the pay-wise system, means that you pay as you earn, and you have to filing. Once you're making income, you have to file. That's the law of the land. That's the whole thing about tax. So I repeat, once you're making income, you have to file to represent it, whether you're working for someone or you're self-employed. Now, before they had a system called the e-tax system, which is your ID number was the user name, and then you put in a password. But that recently in 2018, there's a new system coming to replace the tax system with a TAMI system, tax administration, or tax made easy, as they call it. And this system brought the implementation of what you call a TAMI number. That is the number that is identified the person we know. So whereas you had the ID number as your username and then you had a password, now you have a Thomas number, is a number that used to identify you. So that's why you need to get the Thomas number, because you can't file, you can't pay tax, you can't receive tax refunds unless you have a Thomas number. That's the first thing, that's the first top in step. Let's just say in registration.
Well, is that when you can't receive, let me say you can't receive tax funding.
Refunds, you know, refunds. I can't pay, either, you know. So to filing is very important. No. Everybody has to file. Every business has to file. Every individual has to file once you're making income. File tax. That's part of the world system.
Yes, and I like that. I like you say that you start by saying it is law. It is law. And people, kids, say will be teaching this. I'm sure if you got to pay, if you have to pay. But KC will be doing classes on this. KC, when you decide to do the classes, you'll have to pay?
I'm not sure if it's a government thing that we're planning.
Sweet.
A commissioner. And not yet. It's right now on the card. So it will be happening. We'll be teaching some people who want to know about filing registration and employee uploading and even tax filing, that kind of stuff. Because I'm swamped a lot. I have a lot of clients and I will need to spread out the work some and spread out the knowledge. I think again, these women told me that you can't keep this to yourself, you gotta spread it out to people. And I believe
it's like again, these women now. Yeah, but listen, no, I'm sure again, that this where you'll give me back for sure. Barbara, just know that we're working together. You give me back for sure. So yeah, people can hear about it. Lucy, I want something from you before we end the show, please.
Okay, no problem.
Introduce the piece. And let's rip.
All right. I hope you guys enjoy. Be careful of tattooed covers and hardbacks. People see me and immediately assume they know what they're going to get. This tattoo cover and hardback gives such a clear depiction of the novel within. Pointy nose, straight hair, fair skin, I got this ABC aesthetic. This American, British, Canadian fashion sense doesn't quite make sense when you paint a picture of beiginess in your head. I like boots over slides and slippers over heels, but these slippery heels got them can't find a foot in. Putting the foot in the moat when it asks me in a fake British accent, so where are you from? I know they ain't ready for this one. I from about here. See that spot right there? That's my sleepy tone, spikes down, stomping ground. The stories I could share of 13-year-old me probably skipping out a rum shot in my friend's white tee to jump off the jetty on a full moon, because what else to have out here for the people children to do? I could tell you which back roads could get you from St. Andrew to St. Philip in about 20 minutes and which gully tracks are portals to underground caves. I may be the witch of the north, but I from all about here. You should see the surprise that's tech over their eyes when I speak. Don't let the fair skin fool you. Been out here longer than a millipede in Welsh Mahogany. This voice of mine will haul your back like Hall heaved his out to Glendary to the streets that taught me how to speak. You're forever waiting for a cheerio, pip-pip, crumpets, but nah. I deliver Kadira or pretend naff trumpets, a cacophony of dialect. A bow kite slicing the silence over cities my cadence was expected to replicate. And regional Twitter disrespectfully dares to say that 246 voices sounds like pots falling downstairs. But I know I sound more like Beijing grenades pelt from a gutter park, pangalang and punya peeling. Left them hard ears ringing, you won't hear them feel these drums of revolution beaten by my multiracial ancestral percussions, my lips, my teeth, my tip of the tongue walking up like Mother Sally boxes to a soca rhythm. And this ain't a mock sport. This ain't a baton. This is how I was talking true. And I promise you, I ain't brawling to assimilate nor appropriate, and always appropriate to ask instead of ask a question. You know how to chop up standard English fine, like seasoning, because I is cut off ending consonants like a G. Sometimes I can't find my H's for nothing. Got me like them and they. No, we're non-binary Caribbean, so it's them and they. Been like this since day. I eat so much conkeys, my vowels are handed in steamed banana leaves. What I know, tell you, don't let the fair skin fool you. Don't assume from my complexion that you already know my politics and preferences. I could write a thesis on decolonizing Barbadian spaces, complete with footnotes and historical references, because I drink tea and philosophies with the guardians of our heritage. It's a Saturday ceremony like pudding, pickle, and sauce, some say, God, prickly moat. I don't suffer no bigotry, no bad mind, nor no fools. From primary school, I passed 11 plus a thousand different ways to cuss you out. So when I said don't let the fair skin fool you, I mean, let we take the time to critically assess where we use fair, meaning pretty, exclusively for light skin things. It's like colorism is a fight we cannot win. When round hair lightness and whiteness are simultaneously synonyms and antonyms of fair and fair. My paleness puts a parenthesis on every box, making it just a little less jarring. When the cuss comes from someone who looks like me, publishers don't see the need to add an aggression warning, but I like to be fair and grounded in justice and equality. From now on, I can say, don't let the pacifist skin fool you. I'm still a child of Nanny Greg, wielding a cutlass to defend the rights of Bajans to my last breath, but the thing is, when it is speak, I just get away with enough things too. These sorry things that my friends, cousins, my own mother could never do. And when people hear me, they rarely assume that my dialect is a mark of my intelligence, albeit they infantilize it as a folksy, adorably exotic experience. But maybe the lesson here is no one should be labeled or shelved based off of how they look and not their whole selves. Judge not lest ye be judged. I sure I could assume wrong things from your cover and hard back too, but anyhow, let them who hear listen. A word to the wise is sufficient. Thank you.
Fantastic. Brilliant. Kid Sight. That was superb, Kid.
That was superb. That was excellent. boy. That's wonderful.
Lucy, who were some of your peers in the creative groups that also produce work like that? Shout them out there. We need to know who these people are, generally.
Similar. Okay. Cindy Marshall. Theo, I think you guys had him on last week, I think it was. Theo the Poet, Akeem Chama-Prescott, also known as Stone with Cupid. You've got Rhyme Minister, you've got Sun Rock, you've got Lamar Coward, the buff poet. Then you've got Marcus Myers, another buff poet. So you've got a community of people that have been working on their craft. I think it's just, I used to host the poetry space and we haven't been able to do that for a while. So yeah, I think some poets are just looking for a space to share.
Well, I'd be interested in a space that will reach the people here as well. So we have to look at that. And in the same way that there's Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme, the radio show, physically when things open up, we need to do a couple of events as well to make sure that people get a chance to meet and greet the super talent which comes on this program.
Absolutely.
Looking forward to that.
I agree, Ronnie. And I am more than sure that all of them are ready, because majority of them had said they would love that. So thanks again. This has been Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme. Lucy, thank you. Please don't make it the last time, please. I know you have a lot to share. Kid Say, I will say this until you go, you are a legend in my eyes, and I appreciate you. Nobby, thank you.
I'm going to play some of Kid Sight's friends from back in the day and maybe squeeze him in before we go cruising on board the MV VOB. Thank you, Lucy. Thank you, Kid. Thank you, Sluggy. Remember, we cruise with Captain Bubbler at 8 o'clock on board the MV VOB. But taking us there, gentlemen, that Kid Sight knows very well.
Now, Ninja Man don't want them boxy taxi drivers to get offended, but this one is recommended. So take it and do not speak. Because license to kill, them maxi taxi drivers got license to kill. One time I had me sick, but now they got me ill. They like the checking at the cashiers and paying the bill. They getting driver's license without driving skill. Can't even move off the little van in a hill. Every time they're in an accident, not flood the spill. Yeah, the wheelers don't crash, but a maxi taxi will. License to kill, license to kill. Them maxi taxi drivers got license to kill. We just left 89, slipping to 90, and they want to drive me in the 21st century. I ain't know whether does me going in such a hurry, but I gotta make sure that none of them don't kill me. I ain't want to break hand on a back injury. I don't want the doctor have to carry surgery. I ain't even care if they get vexed with me. I know this ain't right, I know if I had to be wrong. We left friend if feels just to go rage down, and he race around the bends like we up bargain. And then maxi taxi driver's name I will mention, but I hope that I draw the public attention. License to kill, license to kill. Then maxi taxi driver's got license to kill. The cars are making out like but Suzuki's lighter, but it's not because of that that them turning over. Look behind the wheel and see the stupid driver coming down Dell's Road past a Land Rover, going down Beckinsale past a Turbo Lancer. Before he reached the stop lights, he turned over. On a straight road, not even wrong a corner, and the people in the van only ballin' murder. License to kill, license to kill. Them maxi taxi drivers got license to kill. One time they had me sick, but now they got me ill. They like the checking at the cashiers and paying the bill. They getting driver's license without driving skill. Can't even move off the little van in a hill. Every time they're in an accident, not flood the spill. 80 wheelers don't crash, but a maxi taxi will. License to kill, license to kill. Them maxi taxi drivers got license to kill. We just left 89, slipping to 90, and they want to drive me in the 21st century. I ain't know whether does be going in such a hurry, but I can make sure that none of them don't kill me. I ain't want to break hand on a back injury. I don't want the doctor have to carry surgery. I ain't even care if they get vexed with me. I know this ain't right, I know even how to be wrong. We left rain the fuels just to go bridge down, and he race around the bends like we up bargain. None of them maxi taxi driver's name I will mention, but I hope that I draw the public attention. License to kill, license to kill. Them maxi taxi drivers got license to kill. The cars they're making out like but Suzuki's lighter, but it's not because of that that they're turning over. Look behind the wheel and see the stupid driver coming down Dell's Road past a Land Rover, going down Beckinsale past a Turbo Lancer. Before he reached the stop lights, he turned over, and the people in the van only ballin' murder. License to kill, license to kill. Them maxi taxi drivers got license to kill. So when I hear,
now I'm maxi taxi passing, just so steady. God is a DJ called Ranking Ricky from up in the country. Now hear this, dedicated to all the maxi taxi passing. Now Ninja Man, you get here, tell the whole country about the Suzuki vans and ZM Taxi. It seems that you won't get rid of all of we, so it's time that you hear for Ranking Ricky with the driving skill. Balance with clutching at the hill. Accidents do happen and every day I know the will. Now everywhere you go from this country, you hear people talking all about the taxi. Some talk about anger in the cause, that ain't killing me. I want something bigger but a two beanie. But if you check them at night when the big van done run, and the only thing from the road is Suzuki van, they ain't going in the terminal, that have to wait too long. So they pack up in Suzuki like sardines in a van with got the driving skill. Balance with clutching at the hill. Accidents do happen and every day I know the will. Look, the dangers get in the way with enough murder. When they're in the maxi taxi, you should hear them holler. Listen, driver, do me a favor. I got a lot of parcels, drop me through that gap yonder. And we drop me through the gap and don't feel no pressure. But let them ever catch a bus or a roadrunner. It is at the bus stop and a damn further. A bus supposed to carry 20-something standing.
And when you see them, they pack the social gathering. I never see a policeman stop none of them, but let them see a maxi taxi ever overloading. The first thing you hear is a siren. Pull over to the side and start counting. Take the pen and the paper and the star my pocket and the fine I pay in. Double license to kill, license to kill. I rang it, rigging, I got no license to kill. I never went at no cashier and pay no bill. I went to MTW and I showed these people my skill. I went to bail and buy a fella named Phil and see Ninja riding a bicycle with balance me still. One Sunday, I went to word into a jam. At that time, I used to drive Suzuki van. And when the jam done, you should hear Ninja man ranking Ricky. Game a drop in the bail and but if I know the fella was coming with that song, I would've dropped him home that night. And when I reached the garrison, I would've take off like Uber San for Prince of Mentum. Make poor Ninja man real frightened, real frightened. Make me hear funny head stand at attention. Trouble license to kill, boy detest that song. Trouble license to kill, he must he think I's James Bond. We got the driving skill, bottles are clutching on the hill. Accidents do happen and every day I know the will. Look, my name is Ranking Ricky, I just drive a taxi. I come and work for you on this dollar daily. But still the government, they won't come upon me. But if the government ever get rid of me, then I raise the rate of unemployment in this country. We got the driving skill, but I speak clutching on the hill. Accidents do happen and every day I know the will. Cause if you want the first class where you're traveling and you don't want to sit down waiting the best transportation, I guarantee you will find workers that come out to work, not a line. Get you to your destination on time. A maxi taxi is the answer to your problems and mine. Lord have mercy, you doubt me? Ask Manastro or Terry, you doubt me? Ask Buddy Boy or ask G.
Well, all will live in Silver Sand, or if you come from Sandy Lane, or you like chilling down by Sandy Bank, or the whole of Barbados, or step in the quick, you sign your ear. Cause we working, and as I get my paper, what? Quick, I'm dung in me back, taking out half and tell my whole lot, what? Quick, I'm dung in me back. Part this quick, sand come from, got the whole of Barbados sinking down. 8% off, he ting it wrong, poor man get his squeeze. Can't feed the young nor thinking cause your pocket long down. Talking about devaluation, that we got the dandadas and the dang gargons. Ducking about the place, when Friday come, call the girlfriend from the front step. The sit down pot, spoon in she hand, mope push off long and say 8% off the, bring it come. Them in me we, not the sugar plum, but you ain't got the choice. Flip on your hand, what's up with this first? Get back what's stand. Well, look across this quicksand. You feel it make it sport, you don't beat around. You think I'm cooler, yeah. Listen, one time, you lard a home, come back down with food and more food. Food can't done, but no, you're hungry till your belly numb. You can't go in supermarket. Jump down to buy potato, macaroni, pigtail, brandy, bunny. You gone, forget, check, you look wrong. Quicksand, wax, when you say with the big thumb, it's a lot. Dead potato, care back a pong. Two pack of macaroni, care back one that big kill, two fat skipper, cut awesome. You got biscuit already, you are bound for the bun, but it's feeling grand, but I have a sound strong. Lord, don't let me go down, cause we working, and as I get my paper, wax, quicks and dung in my back, taking no half and tell my whole lot, wax, quicks and dung in my back. Talk your talk, ram, don't hush up, quicks and give we licks to the hut. Left and right, got we pocket buckle up. Welcome from we head, be a just up. Won't be accept the pay cut. Sandman, all wrong with foot. Boy, we ankle soon get cover up. Don't lame the dad, or not we well up. Be a just be smart. No everybody look to be call for pension. Care no call, but fear gone up and we working. And as I get my paper, wax. Quick sand down in my back. Taking out half and tell my whole lot. Wax. Quick sand down in my back.
Yes. Yes.
Wax.
Yes.
Wax.
Yes.
Watch ya. If you had to make one wish, quick before the death kiss. Taking people money, that is a risk. Sandman, breaking with fists in other countries, saying that be a John's foolish. Now if you look on the shelf at all the supermarkets, think from Trinidad, Jamaica, funny listen and the locals, you could believe this, but he bringing in more every time they finish. All we got in Trinidad is a couple of flame fish. No be a John's, if you had to make that same wish, we'll be quick. Sandman, sand for this miss, cause we working. And as I get my paper, wax, quick sand dung in my back, taking out half and tell my whole lot.
time down in my bar. Part this quicksand come from Barbados sinking down. 8% off, he thinking it wrong. Poor man getting squeezed, can't feed the young nor thinking, cause he pocket long down. Talking about devaluation, that we got the dan gargon. Talking about the place, when Friday come, got a girlfriend on the front step, just a dumb pot spoon in she hand. Mope push off down and say, 8% off the, bring it come, bring it come. Them and me, knock the sugar plum, but you ain't got the choice. Flip on your hand, we'll drop with this first, take back what's stand. Well, well, I'm across this quicksand. You feel it, make it squirt, you don't beat around. Working, and as I get my paper, quicksand dug in my back, taking no half and tell my whole lot.
Long before he came on the scene as a soca artist, like Big Yari before him, Lil Rick and Kid Sight, the Bajan Dumb Arena, Peter Ram, Peter Wiggins, Quicksand, and before that, two or four exchanges between the Bajan Ninja Man and Ranking Ricky, License to Kill and Driving Skill. And then Ninja Man came back on Shabarang's Roots and Culture Rhythm with a song called Trying to Cover Up. And then Rick came back on the Stonewash with Detrimental. A little education for you. Sounds Good Studios. Hit the bass, hide the drum. This is Lil Rick. Brian Carter on the chorus.
New style of BC.
Yes, girl, world.
Oh, and I like it. Come again.
Come again. Come again. Come again.
Papa, that's what I got there. That's what I did. I never did like this. Love music anyway. And who is this character anyhow? Never heard me. Never heard me.
Now respect you to all y'all picking the damn. Who love to hear them body. Respect you to the vaccine. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. All the girl them run, come follow me. Hear me now, me say. Girls, me know what is your waffy, cure your body. Girls, me know what is your waffy, cure your body. Boom. Girls, me know what is your waffy, cure your body. Girls, me know what is your waffy, cure your body. Me say, this one dedicated to all of the girl picking up. Who walk out and make man abuse their body. Me want all the girl if you listen to me. But whether Beverly, me say whether Patsy, but whether Angie or the girl Rosemary. But all of the girl you waffy think wisely. Cause I keep fit classes, you go daily. The health shop, you have to spend your money. Cause the food where you eat, you have to be healthy. The clothes where you wear, you trash and ready. 36, 26, 36 body. Make the man ball out, you look sexy. But listen to the DJ that they marquee. The company man fit tell the girl picky. Nini, 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 nini. Because girls, me know what is your wife, you cure your body. Girls, me know what is your wife, you cure your body. Boom! Girls, me know what is your wife, you cure your body. Girls, me know what is your wife, you cure your body. Boom! Special request to all the woman. Yes! Special request to all the woman. Say everything you do, you must have caution. You run with the man, you have to use a condom. Some girls run their body like a gas station. Get pregnant and take abortion. I trust them not have no ambition. Them a walk up the street without an occupation. Special request to all the woman. Girls, me know what is your wife, you cure your body. Girls, me know what is your wife, you cure your body. Girls, me know what is your wife, you cure your body. Girls, me know what is your wife, you cure your body. Missing what's at the night in the country. Pay up nothing at St. Lucie. In a dance hall, them a keep a party. And me back up on a young girl, them call Beverly. Couple months ago, she had a baby. Belong to a man living at the country. The people say the man, him name is Johnny. She used to tell the man about how she love me. But that was until the girl like me. Walk out the road with little Ricky. She said, Daddy Mark, what you make love to me? Me say, no, no, darling, me got a girlfriend, you see. Girl then turn to little Ricky. Pity she don't know him a lover's daddy. Next thing you know, she had a big, big belly. Little Ricky, him a tell me, see, me can be a baby. Girl, me know what is your wife, you cure your body, yeah. Girl, me know what is your wife, you cure your body. Boom! Girl, me know what is your wife, you cure your body, yeah. Girl, me know what is your wife, you cure your body. Me say, this one dedicated to all the girl bikini. Who bought put a make man abuse their body. Want all the girl, they feel listen to me, where the Beverly. Our Patsy, me say, where the Angie or the girl Rosemary. But all of the girl, you wife, you think wisely. Cause I keep fit classes, you go daily. And at the L shop, you have to spend your money. Cause the food where you eat, it have to healthy.
The man's name is Danny Mark.
36, 36, 36.
One of the Dump Kings of Barbados. From that talented Small Clan. Sally, Malcolm X, and the entire team. Song called Care Your Body. Same rhythm on which you'd find Don't Get Yam Out. And then, of course, another generation of artists used the same rhythm to bring back some Bajan dub. That's Danny Mark, Care Your Body. Lil Rick with Brian Carter, ABC.